Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, helping you to find God's calling for your career and to land a fulfilling, well-paid, and impactful position. Join me each week for practical guidance, career motivation, and biblical insight based on Christian values. Hi friends, welcome back. I am so happy to be here with you again. And today we're going to be talking about whether or not your work is meaningful and how to make a worldwide impact, how to make your work the most meaningful work you can be doing. And this topic came up because one day I was sitting in the meeting, and this was like years ago, but I was sitting in this meeting and we were talking about helping students through financial aid. Now, this is always going to be a really important topic, but when I was in that meeting, this question jumped into my head of, is my work meaningful here? Not is this work meaningful, because that, there's no question about that, but it's, is my work here meaningful? I wonder if you ever ask yourself the same thing, if you ever wonder what you're doing at work and if the work that you are doing in your 9 to 5, in your Monday through Friday, if it's work that's making the impact that it's supposed to be making, if you're meant to be in this work. Because important work is all around us. But even in that meeting where lives were being changed through policies and bringing about, you know, help financially for students so they can get an education, change their lives, change their legacies. Even in that meeting, I had to ask myself, am I the one to do this work? Am I the one who will make this work the most impactful work for these students and for this institution? And that's the question that I had in that meeting. That's the question that I bring to you today that I hope we can have a conversation about. Is your work the work that you're meant to do, or is it just work that needs to be done? Now, it may very well be important work. Most of our work is important work. But if it is, then the question becomes even more important. Are you the one who is called to do that work? But if you're not called to it, someone else is called to that work and someone else will do an even better job. Here's what I mean. I have this friend. This friend started a program nearly a decade ago. Now, she is amazing. I think I'm pretty good at what I do. So she and I would constantly sort of hire each other wherever we were because we loved working together and we knew the quality of our work. Now, nearly a decade ago, she was offered a position to start a program. And a little piece of me, I gotta be honest, a little piece of me was like, wow, that would be so cool. I might even go so far as to say I was really happy for her, but just a little jelly because I was like, dude, that is so amazing to be able to have a budget and to create this program from scratch, right? She didn't even have a website. She had no staff, no participants, and she created this program from nothing. And over the last decade, every year I'd catch up with her and I would see that this life seemed to just sort of come out of this program. She created something from nothing. I saw excited participants with so many stories of success and accomplishment in areas they never thought possible. I saw bought-in supporters and champions of the program, community members that loved seeing what was going on. I saw invested administrators and a president that really felt the magnitude of the impact from her program. Now, in her industry, new programs rarely make it past what's called the soft money phase. This means that it's grant funded, and so when the money runs out, the program sort of dwindles away. It ends because there's no support for it. And so they go and the institution will put in another grant, and then we try to recreate this new program with potentially new staff. And it just is a whole new process. And the prior program kind of dies. But that didn't happen to this program. I had the honor and the privilege to see this program from its inception, when it was just an idea in my friend's head, to its establishment, the implementation as a permanent, fully funded program. So it's no longer on soft money. Now, it took a long time, but it was blessed all the way through. It was so evident from the beginning that God called her into this role and that he was helping her to accomplish every work. Her program has helped so many people reach their goals in highly competitive and challenging fields. And what stands out every time I interact with their community is not about the structure of the program, the resources it offers, the building it's in. It's about none of that. It is about this life that, like, it's amazing. It just permeates all the events, the relationships of all the participants and supporters and the stakeholders. I mean, you can just feel the hope that is shared amongst them all. I will never forget the joy of watching my friend and this program develop and grow and succeed. And what I learned from all of it, and what I hope to bring to you that you and I can have this conversation, is that when your gifting and God's will and power come together, you become unstoppable and your impact exceeds what you are able to do, what you are capable of alone. And this life overflows from the work that you accomplish. And this is how one person's work, how your work can be so meaningful that it extends well beyond your human abilities. I'm doing a study from a website called theologyofwork.org. Really recommend for you to check it out. But in that study, I learned that our calling is subordinate to the calling. So our individual, unique to us, vocational calling that uses our giftings is always going to call us to accomplish work that is subordinate to, or that is leading to, the ultimate calling, is that we all are to be, you know, saved by grace through faith and, you know, continue to share the gospel. So this means that as you walk into your vocational calling, every good work you do is a contribution towards the bigger calling. And like I mentioned, that is to be saved by grace through faith. And the individual calling that you have is for your own benefit and for the benefit of others and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So how do you make that worldwide kingdom impact through your day-to-day work? How do you even get into the work that you are called to so that you can make that impact on your day-to-day if you're not already in that work? So let's start here. Let's start our conversation on how do we get started? How do we get into position, I guess you could say, how do we get into position to make that impact that we could not make on our own, that we can only make when our gifting and God's will and God's power come together? Now, everything's going to start from the core. And as you know, the core is diligently seeking God in faith that he will answer, knowing that he is going to answer, knowing that he has a plan for you, that he has a calling on your life. And you build your faith through scripture. You build your faith through going into the scriptures and saying, okay, in the word of God, it says that when we seek, when we knock, the door will be open to us. And so let me find even more scriptures to build my faith. You also diligently seek God in faith that he's going to answer by praying, by giving him your worries, your fears, your doubts. It's okay to say, hey, I doubt that you have an answer for me. Help me overcome my unbelief, which, by the way, is a scripture as well. So spend time with God in conversation, because the only way to build trust with someone, whether someone in this earth, like a significant other or like a brother, a sister, a friend, etc. The only way to build trust with them is to spend time with them and see their character. The only way to build trust and faith in God is to spend time with him and his word and see and get to know his character. So get into the scriptures, spend some time praying, and even fasting. Fasting is a great way. You see it all throughout the Bible. Fasting is a great way to connect with God, to build that intimacy with God, to sort of have this moment where you say, no more distractions. And in most cases, when you look in the Bible, fasting, it really means kind of not eating. You might just drink water or something, but it's basically saying, I'm going to make that sacrifice of saying no to the distraction of comfort, of food in this case. And anytime you look in the Bible, it always talks about food. And I'm going to do this as a way to focus solely and wholeheartedly on my relationship and my intimacy with God. And fasting is a great way to hear directly from God. When he speaks to you, are you going to follow his guidance? Now, so many people talk about that analogy of the elevator. I don't know if you've heard it, but if you have been in church for any amount of time or heard any amount of sermons, you probably have heard the whole analogy of the elevator, that if you trust in the elevator, you get in. You have faith that the elevator is going to take you to your chosen floor. If you've watched any number of action movies, you know how dangerous an elevator can be, right? Part of your body can get caught in the door and the rest of your body gets pulled into the next floor. I mean, those are some major injuries. And what I've seen on TV, there's like some traumatic moments there of what can happen when the elevator malfunctions. If the mechanism moving the elevator from floor to floor breaks, you plummet to the ground in a big metal box. And who knows the injuries that could take place when you hit the bottom. And yet, you take action probably almost every day that proves your faith in this machine, in this elevator. If you didn't have faith in the elevator, what would you do? You would take the stairs. The stairs are more work, but you know that you're going to get to your destination. You know you're going to get to the next floor. So you put in the work to ensure you arrive where you plan to. And you only do that if you don't have faith in the elevator. And so it is with your calling. So every time someone shares that analogy, the question is always the same thing. Do you trust God like you trust that elevator? So here's a little pop quiz for you. When was the last time that you truly sought God for his direction? And I know that when you truly seek him, he gives you that direction. So when he gave you that direction, did you, in a sense, get into the elevator with him? Did you trust that he would take you where he said that he would? Did you take the action that proved your trust in his guidance? Or did you look to your right, look to your left, find the stairs, and decide that you would put the work in yourself to get to where you wanted to go because you quote unquote know that if you walk up the stairs, you're going to get to the next floor? Did you not trust him enough to see things through his way? If you say yes, you're probably human because most of us have had those moments. I have yet to meet a human being who says, yes, every single time God tells me what to do, I do it perfectly. And I'm definitely not in that boat. I try and I really try to follow what God asks me to do. But there's so many times where I'm in a meeting or I'm talking to someone or I'm making a major decision and God says, I want you to say this, to tell them this. And I'm like, no, like literally, no, I'm literally arguing with God. And there's times where I just straight up ignore him. And I have to repent from those actions and come back into his grace. And he redeems some of those moments. He redeems all the moments, right? But when I come to him, but you know, every one of those opportunities are lost opportunities to walk in my calling and to do the good works that he has set aside for me. And I know that it's the same for all of us. But what would happen if you went his way this time? What would happen if you went his way every time? John 6:63 says, "The Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and full of life." And I don't have it in front of me here, but in Ecclesiastes, you might remember that it talks about no matter what work you do, in a sense, it's meaningless. No matter how big a building you build or how big a business you develop or, you know, what amazing product you make, it's here today and it'll be gone tomorrow. Again, what would happen if you went his way this time? And what would happen if you went his way every time? Well, in the Bible, so many times it says that by the Spirit, multitudes are reached. You can take a look at the Gospels for several references of how multitudes are reached by the Spirit, especially in Luke. But a lot of these references have to do with the multitudes following Jesus, right? So I understand that you might be thinking, hey, that's Jesus though. We're not Jesus. And I get that. But in the Word, it also says, you will do greater things than these. Jesus himself says, very truly I tell you, you will do greater things than these. So turn to Acts with me. In Acts, it tells us about the believers' impact on multitudes through the Spirit. If you want a few verses, check out Acts chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 32, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, chapter 14, verse 1, chapter 17, verse 4, and then head over to Hebrews for chapter 11, verse 12. I mean, these are just some. I've only looked at a couple. I didn't look at every example of multitude over in the New Testament. But coming back to Acts chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." This is not Jesus that was walking by. This was Peter. And again, there's several references of multitudes coming together when we as a body of Christ are unified, when we are walking in our calling, when we're walking in the Spirit. And I'm curious, friend, what do you do for work? I want you to think about your day-to-day. Do you create marketing campaigns to influence potential customers to make a purchase? Do you design or manufacture electronics, maybe? Or maybe you manage teams as they build homes or bridges, or maybe you build computer networks. Do you produce media, maybe like film or music, podcast, or other creative content for audiences? Maybe you want them to learn or enjoy or be inspired by your content. What do you do during your Monday through Friday? And then I want you to think, what's the impact of the work you do on other people, whether directly or indirectly? How do you help people? What do you do to help, support, motivate, educate, inspire, or equip people to do? I want you to take some time and think about that. And with that in mind, ask yourself, as I ask myself the same question, am I creating this impact by the flesh or by the spirit? Meaning, am I creating this impact in my own power and by hard work? Or am I creating this impact by being in position, being in my calling, and by walking in the spirit? Meaning staying in constant communication with the Holy Spirit and following His direction in my day-to-day, in my Monday through Friday. Creating impact by the flesh, it's going to feel like striving. If you feel burnt out, if you feel like you're working so hard and maybe you don't see a huge or significant progress or impact, then this might be a question for you to really reflect on. If you're creating impact by the flesh, it's limited to what only you can do and only who you specifically speak to. So of course it's going to feel like striving. Of course it's going to feel like hard work because you're only one person. You only have 24 hours a day. However, creating impact by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, means that you are in the place at the time doing the right thing, the good works appointed to you as part of a much bigger plan. Your work now gives you life because that's what it was intended to do, and it gives others life, and it sort of grows legs of its own. Because when you're in the right place at the right time, there's someone else that God has appointed to be also in the right place at the right time. And together, you start to build out the bigger plan, not the plan that's yours and yours alone and that ends with you, but the plan that is much greater that God Himself has designed. And the impact of your interactions, your message, your content, your product, or the experience that you create for others, whatever you do in your work, it gives life, impacts multitude, whether directly or indirectly. Now, I know you might be asking, like, well, how do you know that? How and why would that happen only if I'm in alignment with God? Well, number one, it's because I believe God at His word. That's what scripture says, especially when you read the book of Acts or when you go through those scriptures that I mentioned earlier in the book of Acts, it just becomes clearer and clearer how God works. But I've also seen it in my life, and I've seen it in the lives of others. In the life of my friend who started that program nearly a decade ago, I was a little bit jealous because I thought, shoot, that is so cool. I would love to have a budget and to create a program, but it would have fallen flat in my hands. Not because I'm not good at what I do, not because of any other reason other than my work in that role, which is not what I was called to, it would end with the work. So I would do the work, and the impact would end there. But because my friend who was obedient to God, who just continued to walk in her calling, that it was so clear and so evident, she gave life. And she gave life out of just her own love for the people, but also out of Christ's love. It was like this overflowing. And no, she didn't have to be, you know, super preachy and, you know, try and make this, you know, like some sort of sermon or some sort of Christian program. Like, no, this is just life-giving. And so she just did the work she was called to do. It happened to be in the field of education, and people benefited from it. This is how soil is turned. This is how hearts are softened, by people seeing how hopeful life can be, by people seeing how love can be shared through a program, through the work that you do. And I think in that, you know, God is in those moments. Even if you can't see Him, God is in those moments, and God is in every interaction that she has, every program that she puts on, every benefit that she provides her participants. So let's ask ourselves, is our work impactful? And if it's not, why isn't it impactful? I hope that you and I, that each of us, asks God, is my work what you have called me to? And if it is, am I walking and working in the Spirit? But if it's not what you've called me to, then where do you want me to go? And then, my friend, I really hope that once God gives you that direction, I hope that you press that button, you go into that elevator, and you follow God where he wants you to go. That you put your hope in what he has told you, and you take the action that proves your faith in what he has told you. And trust, my friend, that he will speak to you. I know it because I've experienced it in my life and again in the lives of so many people, that when you truly seek, ask, and knock, your heart is open, he will speak to you. And so believe that in your heart, move in faith, and listen in for what he's going to tell you. And then, of course, when he does give you guidance, take that action that is going to prove your faith in what he has to say. It can be scary. I promise you, it is not easy. But when you do it, oh, it is absolutely amazing. The impact that you will have on other people, the life that will permeate the work that you do, the joy that you will have, and the satisfaction and fulfillment you'll have as you do that work. I mean, it's just amazing all around. So I hope that you do that, my friend. I'll be with you again next week. And until then, I'll be praying for you. I love you. I hope you stick with me because I cannot wait to see what God does when we work together.